So can I do this? Just can y'all let me do this for a second? I know I'm out of the camera frame and they can hear me, but I just want to go around and do a little fist bumping. Can I do a little fist bumping this morning? You can do high, you can go low. A little fist bump. Fist bump this morning. Everybody say fist bump. A little fist bump. Okay. This is kind of see where we at. Fist bump in the balcony. Fist bump in the balcony. All right. Did y'all watch the Super Bowl? What about them Cowboys? Well, they were not at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
You fist bumped me anyway. Okay. I'm excited because I want to say this month, y'all wave your hands in the air because it's springtime. Well, springtime is coming. And so everybody didn't wave their hand in the air. And so that is great for my experiment. I had some more stuff that I wanted to do, but y'all probably thought that I was on something if I did what I wanted to do. That last 2 minutes was an experiment to see who matched my energy. And everybody, okay, you know, the fist bump was here and there. The kids, they was definitely, yep, they couldn't wait till I got to them to fist bump. And then when I said, how about them Cowboys? That was actually in my notes. And if I would have matched the energy over here, it would have went something like this. Yeah, you know, so that was a 2-minute experiment about matching energy. And in this SOS series, not saving our ship, because SOS means save our ship, because this ship has collided with a iceberg, and everybody on the ship will eventually do what? Die, because there's nobody around. But they did send out a message, and it was SOS. But in context with this month, SOS means saving our soul. Amen? And so today I want to talk about matching energy. Matching, what about them Cowboys? What about them Cowboys? Yeah. I'm matching energy. I'm matching energy. Amen? Has God been good to you? Yes. I'm matching the energy in the room. Matching energy. And so this is definitely sarcasm. I've heard my students say they showed up to class and say, we're matching energy this year. I'm like, okay, what'd that mean? Matching energy this year means, this is at the beginning of class, it means number one, they let it be known, I'm going to mirror what I see. Match your energy. If I see you come in like this, I'm going to come up to you. What's up? How you doing today? That's matching energy. What's up? Number two, it's not always flattery. Because when you imitate somebody, they say that is the highest form of flattery. All right. But it's not always flattery, because if I'm acting like you, I think I want to go the other way, because I want to act like that. You coming in like that, I don't want to act like you. So it's not always flattery. Number three, when you are matching energy, you are adjusting to the vibe that someone brings to you. We're matching energy this year. You're adjusting to the vibe that people bring to you. How are you? I'm blessed and highly flavored. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored too. Matching energy. Number three, when you match energy, according to the young people, and this sarcasm, you expose what you see by mocking the behavior that you see. You mock what you see. Number five, it's also conviction for people to get rid of their bad behaviors. Because when you expose what you see, it's like a mirror, and they see exactly how they are acting. So it's like, oh, I really act like that? What about them Cowboys? Now has changed, because you realize the red light is on, the camera is on. I'm taking notes. So basically, you are an imitator of someone else. I'm matching energy this year. You're an imitator of someone else. 1 Corinthians 11:1, if you can turn to it. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, always have it on the screen. It says, read it with me. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Ephesians 5:1. Now that's Paul. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians. Basically says, Paul is saying, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Matching, we're matching energies this year. So let's talk about it like this. Matching God's energy, matching God's standard, okay? And first of all, there's a disclaimer because I don't want to sound like when you say energy, you kind of be mistaken. It could be mistaken for this new age type of talk. When you say energy, you know, like the cosmos or the galaxy, I'm not talking about like this mystical, God don't get the credit energy type of something that's evil. All right, so first of all, I'm somewhat talking anthropomorphically. Everybody say anthropomorphic. When you're talking anthropomorphically, it's like you put human characteristics on non-human things. So it's like, it's a, man, this basket is sharp today. No, this basket can't be sharp because it's not a human. This basket is cheer, you know, so does that make sense? So whenever we put human characteristics on God, we are talking anthropomorphically. Amen? Whenever we're trying to describe God, we're doing the best we can as humans. Amen? So when we read in God's word about God's hands, his eyes, God's walking, God's voice, God is thinking, why does God need to think? He doesn't need to think. God reaching, God does not have to reach. He doesn't have to, nothing ever occurred to God. When the Bible says God repented, of course we've read that God repented that he made man. Or he repented about, quote unquote, a decision that he made. That's anthropomorphically speaking. Amen. We're doing the best we can when we describe God. And the best we can do is through our own finite systems and intellect and wits. We're doing the best we can. Amen. So I want to say that. That's a disclaimer. All right. God is holy. God is not my dude. Amen. He's not my boy. Amen. He's not my bruh. God is not my bruh. He is holy. He is to be respected. Amen. He is to be respected so much. Just in case, I almost want to take my hat off. Just in case. Everybody say just in case. But it was interesting that I went to Israel, one of the most holy places, and they told me to keep my hat on before I went into a place to show a sign of respect. And anyway, that's another teaching that we can unpack later. But God is holy. I feel like me and Lex was talking this week, and she uncovered, or her observation was, we are really casual when it comes to God. What's the most important thing? What should be the most important thing as a believer? All of us in this room, we're believers. If you're not a believer, you're watching online, the most important thing is what? Pleasing God. Is being holy. Everybody say holy. Holy. Holy is on a whole different level. What's more important than trying to be holy? What's more important than that? Nothing is more important than trying to be holy. Is on a whole, it's a whole different dimension. God is holy. It's not that God is just better than us. You've heard me say this. God, everybody say, God is better than us, but God is definitely, he's other than us. Everybody say, God is other than us. So matching God's energy, number one, if God loves chicken, matching his energy, guess what? We love chicken. Amen. Chick-fil-A, they're so clever because their logo or their motto is a cow that says what? Eat more chicken. All right, I'm coming back. I'm always talking about food up here. But chicken has helped me lost about 10, 12 pounds. Amen? Just chicken. I can't eat the macaroni and cheese with it. I can't eat your... can you wait till about July to bring some more pies? I'm just warning you. Just wait till about July for me. If God says marriage is between a man born a man and a woman born a woman, matching God's energy says what? That's what we match. That's what we believe. Amen? If Jesus says love your neighbor as yourself, matching that energy, it's what? Yes, love your neighbor as yourself. If Jesus says forbid children not to come unto me, Judah is matching that energy. Kaylee and Maria, we're matching that energy because we are allowing the next generation to come up and use their gifts for God. Y'all clap your hands for this church. Always matching God's energy when it comes to the next generation. If God hates lying tongues, what should we hate? Not the liar, but the lying spirit that's behind the lying tongue. If Jesus disapproves of false teachings, challenges religious authorities, and rebukes demons, what should we do? We should match that energy. If God can do a lot in 6 days, we should match that energy. Amen? In other words, God did a lot in a little time, and what we know is time. So if you in this room, there's still time on the clock for you on earth to still create, start a business, do something, be used by God. You're not washed up. Amen? I don't care how you feel, you can still be a millionaire. I don't care what's in your 401k, you can still be a millionaire. You can still create. You can still go back to school. Not me, but you. I'm talking to you, not me. You can still go back to school. Let's match his energy. All right, so I want to hurry through this because I want to get to the resurrection type of teaching today. God is holy. He wants us to be holy. He knows the benefit of a holy lifestyle. There's a benefit to a holy lifestyle. Even though we are sinful, God wants us to experience the state of holiness. Everybody say the state of holiness as often as we can in this bodysuit called flesh. Holy. Remember I just said holy is on a whole nother level. Holy is next level. And that's the best description I can do coming from Fairfax with a BA degree, and that's as far as I wanted to go. But that's the best I can do. God is next level. Everybody say, God is next level. But he's actually better than that. He's other than. Number one, write this down. Holy, holy, holy. It is not energy, for the record. But anthropomorphically speaking, for an example, I'm just saying what I'm saying for an example, but and for relevance purposes, God is not, when I say energy, I'm just saying that for an example. I just want to keep providing that disclaimer. I don't want to get in trouble by God or anybody else. They say, what you saying, bro? Holiness is the grand, write this down, the grand ultimate state. Holiness is the grand ultimate state. Number two, holy or holiness reflects God's character of purity. It reflects, matching energy, it reflects God's character of purity, righteousness, and a separation from sin. Separating from sin gets you closer to holiness. We have an issue. Everybody say, Houston, we have a problem. Because I sinned this morning. There was something God wanted me to do this morning. I didn't do sin. There was something I may have done that God didn't want me to do, sin. Houston, we have a problem. So how are we going to be holy when we have a sin nature? Amen? We have a sin nature. My wife Lex is sinning right now. I didn't make up the bed. She's looking at me and say, you doing some good teaching already, but you, you doofus, you didn't make up the bed. She called me a name in her head. She's sinning. How's she going to be holy? Number four, holiness. Holy, holy. Requires dedication. Everybody say dedication. And commitment to God's standard. We're matching energy this year. We're matching energy this year. Number five, must be an effort and a desire. Everybody say it's a desire. To mirror holiness in our lives. 1 Peter 1:15, I believe it's on the screen. Let's read it. Ready, set, go. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So this is New Testament or Old Testament? Shout it out. Shout it out. Master my energy. This is New Testament or Old Testament? Y'all just got a C minus. I said, match my energy. New Testament or Old Testament? A plus D, F, C's. It's interesting, it's not in my notes, that the younger you are, it seems like it may be easier to match God's energy. Seems like the younger you are, maybe it's, I heard a really smart person yesterday said that there's at least or roughly 10 dimensions. There's 10 dimensions. We know about 2 dimensions. We know about 3 dimensions. Now we know, proven, we can actually kind of get a glimpse of the 4th dimension. But it is, I know it, it's mind-blowing. But they said that there are actually 10 dimensions. He also suggested that the younger you are, you can see more dimensions. The younger you are, you can actually experience or see. It's like this, like childlike faith. Or it seems like if you really want, you want a child to pray for you. Because they are fearless in their faith. They believe that God can do it, will do it yesterday. Amen. Amen. Amen? So no wonder a child, perhaps, if this is true, can see and experience other dimensions we as adults cannot. All right, Leviticus 11. Y'all okay? I'm trying to rush through this. Does it seem like I'm rushing? Okay, okay, amen. All right. I have a lot because I'm here 2 weeks. I love it when I'm back to back because we can really, really work this thing. Amen? Amen. And it's an honor to be here. For the record, it's an honor. Y'all match my energy. It's an honor. Yes. Leviticus 11 says, verse 44, if you want to read it with me, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. For I am holy. Let me pause. Israel had the same problem we're having now, full of sin. Houston, we have a problem. Houston, they had a problem. And so God set this thing up a certain way to fix the problem in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. All right. I'm going to keep reading by myself. Y'all take a break. You've worked 40 hours this week. All right. If you retire, you rested 40 hours this week. You could be tired from resting. You shall not defile yourselves with any swarming thing that crawls on the ground. What does that mean? For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy again, for I am holy. God, what are you talking about? You telling me I'm defiled by associating with swarming things that crawl on the ground. First of all, in Leviticus, everybody say Leviticus. Leviticus. Don't sleep on Leviticus. Leviticus is a sleeping pill. We're going through the Bible in a year, and as every year when I get to Leviticus, it's nap time. But this year is different. It's hitting different this year because Leviticus and the resurrection is mind-blowing. You may have already had that revelation, not me. Leviticus, I'm not sleeping on Leviticus anymore. It is said that Leviticus is probably the most important book of the Bible, period. Leviticus is concerned about us being right, being holy. God says, this is my show. I can tell you to do this, and you got to do it. I can tell you to eat grass to be holy. And guess what we got to do? We got to eat grass to be holy. It's not BK, not Burger King. It's GK. It's God's. He can have it his way. It's whatever he wants. He made us. It's in him we move, we live, and have our being. Whatever God wants, we need to do it. He made us. Amen. That's what we should be obsessed with. If you want to live your best life in this room, raise your hand. If you want to live your best life in God, raise both hands. It's not just about living your best life. It's about living your best life in God. I can't tell you how many funerals or how many deaths this week I've seen, I've heard about. One tragedy included three deaths of their age group. Three kids. Car wreck. They have to be cremated because they didn't survive the car wreck, if you catch my drift. Then a pastor passed away. Then a grandmother. I'm running out of fingers. Y'all know it doesn't end when you die on earth. That's why holiness is important. God can set this thing up how he wanted to. So the process of being holy, according to Leviticus, gives us a glimpse of the resurrection weekend, all right? Or the resurrection, what we celebrate as Easter. I choose resurrection weekend. Everybody say it's a process. And the process was sacrifices. Everybody say sacrifice. But the fruit was holiness. Because of sacrifices, you were able to be holy. All right, write this down. Number one, yes, God is OCD. He is definitely OCD. And so you're saying, bro, what's the deal with him not wanting us to touch? If you read in Leviticus, everybody say Leviticus, so y'all don't go to sleep. If you read in Leviticus, he don't want you to touch things that are dirty. He don't want you to touch certain things that have molded. Even when you sacrifice animals to God so you can be holy, yes, you can eat it, but you had a certain time frame that you could eat the sacrifice or the leftovers from the sacrifice. He was OCD. And call yourself not matching his energy, and there were consequences. Don't match God's energy in Leviticus. Dead. Watkins and Garrett Funeral Home has your body. Nadab and Abihu were killed for not matching God's energy. They offered up something strange to God. A strange sacrifice is what the Bible talks about. Number three, there is a protocol, laws in Leviticus for being in God's holy presence. Every time I say Leviticus, think about Resurrection Weekend. Think about if we didn't have Leviticus, would Resurrection Weekend make sense? Or all the verbiage, the vernacular, sacrifice, he bled and died. What if Leviticus was taken away? Open up your Bible and pretend like you're ripping out Leviticus. With John 3:16, John 1, Peter, 1 Peter, Revelations, would that make sense? Would that have like an aha moment? When Jesus, Paul, many New Testament writers are referencing Leviticus. They are referring to Leviticus. There's a protocol. So in Leviticus, there are key figures and components to aid in the process of entering the tent of meeting. Everybody say tent. Not a tent to go camping in, but if you're going to go camping in this tent, God's presence is in this tent. Amen. And so there's a protocol because in this tent is where God would meet who? Moses. So you have Moses, this deliverer, they call Harriet Tubman Moses because why? She led people to freedom from slavery. But young people, the reason why they call Harriet Moses, because Moses was the OG in leading people to freedom. All right. So number five, sacrifices were the gateway to glory or to God's presence. Sacrifices help you match God's energy, his standard. So Leviticus, everybody say Leviticus. It is full of blood. It is full of sacrifices. And it seems to me, it seems like a lot. It seems like a lot to go through to be clean. Like, but again, it's God's way. This is the way he wanted it. There were so many sacrifices. And again, Easter or resurrection weekend makes more sense when you look deeper into Leviticus. I almost wanted to go deep today, but today is just an introduction. And then next week, warning, you have homework. Number two, we're going deeper in Leviticus. Take your Red Bull. Amen. Eat some peppermint, some Jolly Ranchers, because Leviticus, when we have an appreciation for Leviticus, your prayer is going to go to another level. When we have an appreciation for Leviticus, your prayer life, your evangelism, your understanding of how God set this up, it would just go to another level. Amen? Are y'all ready for next week? Amen. I'm not finished yet, but Leviticus. Everybody say Leviticus. Leviticus. It actually comes, I like the way y'all said this. Everybody say Leviticus.
Leviticus.
They're not matching my energy. They have superseded my energy. So now I got to match their energy. You see how matching energy bring, it causes you to come up. That's why we need to match God's energy. Leviticus is the second, Genesis, Exodus, it's the third book of the Bible. And it comes from a Hebrew word that means the Lord spoke. Vayikra is how you say it. It's a Hebrew word meaning the Lord spoke. And over like dozens of times in Leviticus, you will see the beginning of that scripture. It says what? And the Lord spoke, or the Lord what? Called, and the Lord spoke, and the Lord spoke, and the Lord spoke, and the Lord spoke. Say it with me. And the Lord spoke, and the Lord spoke, and the Lord, and it. Name another book that has that many, and the Lord spoke. Shout it out. What's another book that has more, and the Lord spoke, and the Lord said, than Leviticus? I'm not saying it's Leviticus. I'm just doing a survey. Name another book. Is it Leviticus? So what we should consider reading if and the Lord spoke, if God is speaking, we should probably go back and read the entire book of what? Because if this is God really speaking, we probably should listen and figure out what does he want, what does he like, especially if we want to be holy. At least we can see the character of God in Leviticus. New Testament, it's not a different God, but he can do what he want to do. And everything really leads up to this new, to the fourth Sunday, which is Resurrection Weekend. And I don't want to give it away, but we have an insight of what God wants, but it's really foreshadowing something in the future. It's not that God changed. Amen? God did not change. Amen? This was a part of the parade. This was a part of the process. This was the order of getting to the fourth Sunday of this month, which is Resurrection Weekend. Am I making sense? I hope so. Everybody say Leviticus?
Leviticus.
All right. The third book of the Bible, number two. The New Testament, I've already said this, references Leviticus many, many times. Number three, in Leviticus, the big issue is what? Sin. Number four, God has and had a huge issue with sin, strutting. That word strutting, just certain imagery. When I see the word strutting, I want y'all to see what I'm seeing. God had a big issue with sin strutting in his presence. Strut seems like it has a pride, it has a looseness, it has a careless imagery to it, strutting. Have you ever said to your grandkid or child, don't you strut in this house like this? Do you know it's 12:30 a.m.? You strutting in this house like you ain't late, like strutting. God has a huge issue with sin strutting in his presence. Amen? I prayed a little extra long in the back before I came out today knowing what I was about to teach. Amen. Because I dare not strut up here. Say, I'm about to wear this teaching now. Not to the man. I wouldn't do that in front of the person that could end it in a blink of less than a blink of an eye. Amen. Approaching God's presence disrespectfully or inappropriately in Leviticus equal death. Disrespectfully or inappropriately. Number six, why does God's presence in Psalm 16 and 11, it says God's presence is beautiful. It's beautiful because in God's presence, there's fullness of what? There's joy, it's happiness, it's good. So why something so good can be so dangerous? So if God's presence is so good, why can God's presence harm me? It's confusing, right? Or is it confusing? The answer is because of its purity. The sun is responsible for what vitamin? Vitamin D. Yep, vitamin D. Amen. But if you get too close to the sun, what's going to happen? So something so good, if you get too close to it, it's going to be harmful. It's because of God's purity. God is not just better than us. He is other than us. He is holy. He is powerful. And because of the purging qualities of his presence, like the sun, we can't just be careless about God and his presence. I'm probably going to beat y'all to the altar this morning. I'm going to beat y'all to the altar. We can't be careless with his presence. Amen. In Leviticus or in Matthew or in 2024 in America, we can't be careless with God's presence. We can't be casual with God. He is to be revered and reverenced. Amen. How do we respect Beyonce more than God? We shouldn't be more of a fan of Beyonce than we are of God. First of all, the young people say that they stan people like Beyonce. Stan, what does stan mean? Raise your hand if you don't know what stan means. I just took, okay, one, two, three. That's what I'm here for. Stan is, it sounds like fan, but stan is basically you've taken it too far. You are obsessed with the person. So when you hear maybe your grandkids, your cousin, they say, I stan her. That means they are they're a fanatic. Fanatic, not a fan, but a fanatic. Well, fan is the root word of fanatic. But I stan you. We should stan who? God. Not millennials. I'm a millennial. That was for Gen Z and the Alpha generation. Leviticus number 7. Leviticus highlights figures and components that were important in the process of entering the tent of meeting. Whenever I say tent of meeting, tent, whenever you read in Leviticus, us veterans, we know what that means, but if for some reason you don't know, tent of meeting, this is where at the base, many times at the base of Mount Sinai, we're going again when this war dies down. Amen. But at the base of Mount Sinai, you have this tent, and you have Moses. At one point in time in history, Moses could not go in the tent. Because why? Why couldn't Moses go into the tent? So imagine if this, I know I'm out of the camera frame, imagine if the tent is right here, and this is the door of the tent, and Moses had to stay right here. Why Moses could not go in the tent? Because he wasn't holy. He wasn't pure. He wasn't sanctified. Amen? But then, so you have Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, and what? What comes after Leviticus? Leviticus? Before you get to Leviticus, Moses was right here. The Bible says Moses had to stay right here. He could not go into the tent of meeting where God's presence dwelled. And that's where God would speak to Moses on behalf of the people. Are y'all seeing this? But when you go to Numbers, it says something a little bit different. It says God spoke to Moses not outside the tent of meeting, but what? Inside. Clap your hands. In Numbers, God spoke to. So what happened? That's why we need to be obsessed with Leviticus, because something between Exodus and Numbers happened in Leviticus. It was this process to get Moses in a state where God would accept him in his presence. Holiness. We gotta be obsessed. We gotta read Leviticus a little bit differently. Amen. It is foreshadowing, which is what I'm gonna talk about next week. It is foreshadowing Jesus. It's foreshadowing. So when you look at these images, yours truly put this together. Took me about 3.5 hours. Amen. Amen. I take tips. All right. In the form of macaroni and cheese and pies in July. That's the only tip I'll accept when I say tip. It was fun putting this together. In Leviticus, these are the images you will see in Leviticus. You see a lamb, light bulb, New Testament. You see a goat. It's referred to as a scapegoat because this goat, all of the sins would be projected, if you will, on the goat. And this goat will be sent out away from everybody. It's like your sins being forgiven and being away from you. Amen. So if your sins are on this goat and this goat is away from you, what kind of state does that put you in? A holy state. You see the tent of meeting. This is where God's presence only in the Old Testament, his presence will only be found in this tent. Everywhere else, God's presence is not there. We got it going on in 2024. It's not set up the same way. All right, that's next week. You see a priest. He was like a butcher. Everybody say priest. The priest was like a butcher. He was responsible for the goat, the pigeon, the doves. He would oversee. He would mediate. He would facilitate. And his role, his job was to facilitate this. Eradicating sin through the process of sacrifices. You got sin on you. Look at somebody and say, you got sin on you? We're pretending like we're in Leviticus. Everybody say, go see the priest. Look at somebody and say, you need to go see the priest. Look at somebody and say, you need to go see the priest. And of course, Aaron and Moses, they were advocates. They were approved men of God to be in the tent of meetings. They got instructions from God. And of course, you have the bread here. So we're not talking about this solely today, next week. But I want to end today like this. Think about the process and the players, because you have homework. Download this. Go on the website and download this. Look at this. Because your homework is to study key sacrifices in Leviticus. If you don't do your homework, and I not sense that next week, I will give you an F minus. You will get an F minus. Study, not just read. Everybody, study key sacrifices in Leviticus. We may put 7 mics out and put them around the room so you guys can, maybe we'll talk about it. This is homework. This is Sunday school, children's church, church service, and Bible study mixed together. Amen. Give you one more second if you want to take a screenshot and you don't want to wait. This is your homework. This is your homework. Give you 3 more seconds. Study key sacrifices in Leviticus. In Leviticus. So I want to end today with asking you a question. How are you going to match God's energy? If you're not matching God's energy, whose energy are you matching? What are you matching? What standard are you? How are you living? Where are you getting your standard from? How are you moving throughout life? What's your gauge? What's convicting you? What's pushing you to do or not to do something? Is it CNN? Is it a fiction book? Are you getting your observations from something or your convictions from something other than the Bible? Are you quoting others more than you are quoting the Bible? Amen? And again, it's not just about what you are sacrificing during Lent and the rest of the year. A sneak peek of next week, it's about 1 Samuel 15. God wants your heart. That's the beautiful thing about Fourth Sunday, which is Resurrection Weekend. God wants your heart. 1 John 3:16, if you will. It's about your heart. Amen. God wants you, because the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15, obedience is what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. But it is important to note, even in 2024, when something dies in your flesh, God shows up. When you, Lent is powerful. When you sacrifice, when you fast, when you deny something, when you deny your flesh, it's like it's you're killing something. And it's a heart thing anyway. For me not to eat a steak to please God, you know my heart is good. And at least at that moment. And I don't even eat steak. I don't eat beef. But that's my point. When if your heart wants to please God by telling your body not to do something, you better pray the very second you realize that's what's happening. You hear me? Perhaps many of our prayers are not being answered because of that. Perhaps. Amen. He has a way that he wants to be approached. And it has a lot to do with your heart. With your heart. We're never going to be sinless. Amen. Let's try to be blameless. Or let's die trying to come up to the standard, matching God's energy. If you want to stand, you can stand. And we're going to wrap it up. We are saved by grace. Clap your hands because we're saved by grace, which should affect our behavior. And I really like, there was a pastor that used to quote this a lot over the years when I was in college. And I never understood it until later in life, when I got my act together. He would quote the scripture, "We are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ." It's almost like the sacrifice process is sped up through Jesus. We are the righteousness of God, not through getting a pigeon or a goat. We are the sacrifice, not sacrificing a bull, not through the blood of a lion, not through the blood of a lamb, but the blood by the blood of what? Jesus Christ, who is also referred to as what? A lamb, which is found in what? Leviticus. Ooh, Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I think David had it right. And so I'm lifting Leviticus today and next week for a certain reason. Because I said it earlier, what's more important than being holy? Nothing else. David had it right because he said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew in me what? A right spirit." And y'all, excuse me for the next 2 minutes while I make it personal. And I encourage you guys to make it personal too when you talk to God, because it's about your heart. And you see how David is, David sacrifices were always around David. So he know about sacrificing, but David is giving us a sneak peek of the New Testament, even while he's in the Old Testament. Are y'all seeing this? David says, he knows that in one particular state, David was a mess, a murderer. What else? Adulterer, a liar. He lied. He had somebody killed. And so what sacrifice did David have to take care of somebody that's guilty of those three things in the Old Testament? What could David sacrifice? Y'all shout it out. Come on, Bible readers. What could he sacrifice? Say it again. There was no sacrifice for what David did. They did not have prisons in Leviticus. Because when you were wrong and you disobeyed God, you killed somebody, you were not locked up. There were no prisons during that time. Why? You were wrong. You were killed. No need for a prison. No need for a prison. Imagine if we had that same type of system today. Prisons would be out of business. So David is between a rock and a hard place. Because I wonder if David's wondering, I know that we have the grain sacrifice, homework for next week. I know we have the sin sacrifice. We have the peace sacrifice. We have the guilt sacrifice. We have the drink offering and sacrifices. But David says there's nothing on this menu that will help what I did. So I wonder, did David sit and say, I'm a dead man? There was no sacrifice to cover it because the law said, if you did this, David, you're supposed to die. But yet the Bible says David is a man after what? He's matching God's energy. I'm about to run to Greenville. David matched God's energy. He knew that God loved holiness. He said, creating me a clean heart and renew what? He said, cast me not away from your. Why did he say that? Because of Leviticus. I'm about to run to Gaffney because there's a Gaffney t-shirt underneath this shirt. David said, whatever you do, because I know that I am under the law. But I know there's a man coming that will fix this. But right now, I'm under the law. I need to tap into the New Testament for this moment. And I need you to fix my heart, creating me a clean heart. Take your spirit not from me, because if not, I'm a dead man. 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 Gifted. He said, I'm a dead man because my heart is not pure. Powerful, priest, king. I'm a dead man. 2 minutes. If y'all give me 2 minutes, y'all can have 2 minutes, 20 minutes. Thank God for Jesus because I'm not a dead man. Amen. Thank God for the Lamb, for the second Adam. I'm not a dead man. I would have been dead on the keyboard playing with at least my heart was not contrite and was not broken. Amen. Lifting my hands, wrong in the state I was in, I would have been a dead man if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for the fourth Sunday, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for that sacrifice, I would have been a dead man. That's what I want to leave you with today. Let's give God praise and thanks for Jesus. I'm not a dead man because of you, Jesus. Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for paying the price for me. Thank you, Jesus. I don't need a goat. I don't need a bull. I don't need a dove. All I need is Jesus. Jesus, you're enough. I get to skip the line. I don't have to wait in a long line. I don't even need the line. I have access to God the Father because of you, Jesus. And in this moment, I am so grateful. We are so grateful. We are not, from this day forth, we will not be casual with you, God. We will not be careless. We will be aware that you have likes, you have dislikes. I am going to move. I'm going to match your energy when I leave these doors, and I don't care who it offends. I am all about pleasing you this season. I'm matching your energy, and I'm not coming down. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We adore you. If you're watching online and you are not saved, it is so simple. All you have to do is confess, believe that God raised Jesus. Yes, he sacrificed his son for you watching online. If you're watching this later, it is no accident. Give thanks. If you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. And we are clapping our hands in this room for you. Hallelujah. God, you're holy. You are holy.